1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I'm rolling down the long, long summer way, smoking my breakfast by the pan, sitting by a river in the early morning sun. I watch a train fall in the jam. But I tell the kids, start trying to head on down the road. There's places that I've never been, stories ain't been told. Maybe my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel at home. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel. Hello and welcome to the My Home is on the Road show. This is the half-hour weekly show for people that believe that home is where you park it. And there's more of us out there than you might think, traveling in RVs and little Volkswagen buses and all kinds of jalopies around the country. You might call us homeless, you might call us vagabonds, you might call us gypsies, and we might be all of those things, or none of those things. The skinny on me, I make my living playing the blues. I play the piano in bars and coffee shops and casinos and anywhere that'll pay the bills. And I live in Vincent. Vincent is a 1965 Volkswagen microbus. It's a sundial camper for those of you that are into that sort of thing. But it's a classic hippie bus. Goes anywhere. It's good on gas. Easy to fix. Needs to be fixed often. Did I mention it was good on gas? So that's me. This is my show. I tell stories from the road, I play music from other artists that I meet in my travels. And when you travel in an old Volkswagen bus, there's something magical. If you ever get the chance, just ride around the block in one, because just seeing this thing coming down the road just makes so many people happy. One of the great joys is just having people wave at you. And I love when you get an old hippie or something that sees it and you can tell, like 20, 30 years just evaporated. He was right back to where he was doing some crazy thing back in 68 or something. And maybe one of the greatest things about owning an old Volkswagen bus is the stories. Because people know as soon as you show up that you're going to be friendly. And there's all kinds of people that have had, you know, some kind of story. Something happened to him, either in a Volkswagen bug or in a Volkswagen bus. And then you wind up just hearing all kinds of crazy things. And pretty soon you've got friends all over the place. And that's kind of one of the reasons I started the radio show. Between playing music and bar rooms and casinos and coffee shops and traveling around the old Volkswagen bus, I wound up hearing a lot of stories, and I felt like some of these stories should be getting out there. And that's kind of the idea behind the My Home is on the Road show. Telling the stories from the road and playing the music from the road. And speaking of music, the song you hear in the background, the theme song, is off of my second CD, a CD called Vincent Rolls. And if you ever want to check out me, my music, or anything about the radio show, go to davemanning.net.
Well, my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel home. And I don't know if I'm ever gonna back again this way. The road's the only place I feel at home. Feel at home.
On this week's show, we bring you part two of the story of Nickel Paying Me Back. Last week, we heard the story of my summer tour 5 years ago, when I set off from Alaska and drove Vincent down to Nevada City, California, and back up to Alaska playing music along the way. 5 days into the two-month trip, Rochelle, the girl I was madly in love with, broke up with me. Broke up with me over a red Pac-Man-shaped payphone in the teeny town of Atlin, British Columbia. It's a story of how a few weeks later, I reached out to Nickel, a single mom between jobs and down on her luck. I'd met Nickel just briefly the summer before when I played in Prince George, British Columbia. I met her for tea as I drove south through Prince George a few weeks after Rochelle broke my heart. On the spur of the moment, we decided she should travel with me for a month down to California and back up. I leave her back in Prince George on my way north towards Alaska. Her son was leaving in just a few days for his summer-long visit with his father. Nickel didn't have a job to worry about. She could keep me company during a very lonely time, and I could take her on a grand adventure to places and things she'd never seen before. And that was last week's show. We left off after that summer's adventure, when I returned to Anchorage. Rochelle and I got back together after I returned, and the next summer we moved down to Reno, Nevada. My contact with Nickel faded away, and we hadn't spoken in years. And that was the end of the story. That was the end of the story. That was the end of the story, until I was at the old Miner's Foundry in Nevada City, California, a couple weeks ago. The historic stone building turned performance space was hosting another concert. Sherry Stook, my California big sister, had her ice cream booth set up and got me in for free, provided I helped her work the booth for a little while. One of Sherry's friends whispered to us in the small-town gossipy voice, "Sherry, Dave, you know, Nickel's back in town." "No," both of us said, like some sort of lost Catholic ritual. "Yes," she said, "she's with Charlie. She just got down here last week. I'll kick his ass," I said, and they both laughed. An hour later, I saw her. I saw her from the back, sitting at a cocktail table with Charlie, gently watching the jam band. She didn't see me. It was strange and exciting for me, and I'd had a warning that she was around. She didn't even know that I was around, too. With the loud music and the low light, I decided not to just walk up to her and tap her on the shoulder from behind. It would be too shocking. I decided to dance instead. I joined the self-righteously stoned hippies, convulsing in their own peculiar ways in front of the stage. I looked over at Nickel occasionally. When she saw me, she was expressionless at first. I danced behind some people where she couldn't see me. I reappeared. She did a double take. I hid again behind some other people as I danced. I reappeared. We smiled broadly at each other. She stood, and I walked to her. In the cloud of self-righteous hippie stink and California weed smoke, we embraced like the friends we were from another time. We talked. She said she'd tried to get in touch with me over the years. Asked me how she could. Not knowing her relationship with Charlie, I said, "Well, you can always email me through davemanning.net. She stared at me. "Or I could give you my phone number." She smiled. It was Friday night. I said I'd be around until Tuesday. We chatted, looked each other up and down a few more times, like just to make sure it was really real. We exchanged looks down the dance floor several more times, and then later, after a few more songs, she was gone. As I packed the bus to leave that Tuesday, she called. I was all but gone with a Reno gig to make that very night. We couldn't see each other unless... We couldn't see each other unless maybe... Maybe she could come up to Tahoe this weekend. I was playing up there Friday and Saturday. I could even come get her on Thursday evening if she wanted to. Tahoe was only about an hour away from Nevada City. Thursday night, I found Charlie and her at the Chief Crazy Horse Bar in Nevada City. I was there to pick her up. I still didn't understand their relationship, but he knew that she was leaving with me in my little bus for the next 2 nights, at least. Later that night, the engine fell silent and echoed through the forest. The Jeffrey and Ponderosa pines and the whole universe that they held up above us dwarfed the humble little bus way up in the woods above town. The silence was stark. As I set about making the bus from a car into a house, into a bedroom, Nickel helped out. A bit rusty after 5 years, but a good helper, folding out the bed, arranging the blankets. It was good to have her back aboard. We talked. We remembered. Our laughter bounced off the trees. We probably talked for 2 hours. Later, with the bed folded out, the candle glowing, we sat and brushed each other's long hair. Hers was halfway down her back, about as long as mine. Hers was shoulder length last time I saw her. Mine used to be short. As I gently pulled the brush through, I saw the occasional invasive gray hair among the beautiful, straight blackness. She'd find the same in mine. It was another night, much like the first we'd spent in the bus together all those summers ago. We were both unsure. We both found something to wear to bed. She explained that her relationship with Charlie was such that she couldn't be sexual with me. We blew out the candle. We spooned. We slept. In the morning, we fell easy into the old routines. We lazed through breakfast. She told me stories about working up in the oil sands of northern Canada. She referred to it as the oil patch. She was making a good living for herself now. She was confident, optimistic. She was funny. She told me how our trip all those years ago had begun a process.
started her on the road she's on now, making something of herself, enjoying life more, traveling more. We laughed as we both traced a teeny trail the ants had built, a little ant superhighway through the forest. Neither one of us could find where it began or where it ended. Indeed, the world was hurrying by, and we were enjoying a lost friendship in the forests of the Sierra.
On the way over to Lake Tahoe, we would cross Donner Pass, one of the most famous and traveled low spots in the Sierra. Old Highway 40 and now Interstate 80 passed through its tall trees and rounded granite outcrops. Donner Summit was named for the supreme human drama that unfolded here in the winter of 1847 and 48, when a wagon train of farmers known as the Donner Party was bogged down in October snows near what is now Truckee, California. Trapped by snows that were soon several feet deep, soft, and impossible to move in, the party slowly ran out of food, starved, died, one by one. It was almost spring before a rescue party from near present-day Sacramento was able to reach them. Even then, only the strongest could attempt the journey out with the rescuers. Others were left food and little hope of survival. The rescue party used a wide mountain meadow on the western slope of the Sierra as a base camp. It was here that the rescued ones, the ones able to march through the deep snows of the pass, finally found food, fire, warmth. The meadow is still today known as Bear Valley. Its tall grass, rimmed with ponderosa pines, look much the same as they did back then. We made breakfast in Bear Valley, Nicol and I. Our trip over Donner Summit would be much less arduous, but not without incident. The generator in the bus was flirting with not working. I followed the procedures on how to keep your Volkswagen alive, a manual of step-by-step procedures for the complete idiot, like I usually did when something went wrong with the bus. I tried to preserve its life just a little bit longer. It seemed to work, then not, then work again. In Truckee, I left the headlights on too long and drained the battery. Dead drained the battery. We push-started it. No luck. A kind soul jump-started it. That worked, but now the generator was not producing electricity again, so about 5 minutes later, the bus ran out. Not enough charge to set off the spark plugs, choking off the motor. Nicol once again proved to be a roadworthy partner as we pushed it for a whole city block getting ready for another attempt at a push start. Through all this, Nicol never complained. Quite the opposite, actually. She was in great spirits, optimistic, laughing, making jokes, keeping me happy, keeping me calm. I tinkered with the generator again, hoped it would work when the engine finally started. It did, only kind of. Then we were dead stuck again. And the gig's start time was now approaching fast. We had to make it another 20 minutes over to Lake Tahoe. I thought we could push start the bus. I knew we could push start it. I knew we could get the motor going, Nicol and I. But with no charge in the battery, it wouldn't keep running for lack of spark. Then it hit me. We just needed a little electricity. The spark plugs don't take much. I got out my solar panel and put it on the roof. And as long as the clouds didn't roll in, we'd have enough juice to run the spark plugs, run the motor, and thus, with a solar-powered bus, we made it to Jake's on the Lake for the gig just in time. It was as we were carrying stuff in for the gig that she said it again. She'd explained it to me earlier in the day, but now it really sank in.
She wanted to pay me back. I stopped. Pay back what? I said. The $300, she said. It was a gift then, I said, and it still is. Dave, she said, you were making good money when you gave me that. You had a good paying job. Now you're traveling, making your music, chasing your dream. And you told me last night you're making a lot less money. Back then, I was out of work, stuck in Prince George. I was a single mom. Well, I still am a single mom, but now I'm the one with the good paying job. I want to pay you back. When what was happening finally sank in, when I started to see the big picture, tears began to well up in my eyes. I've always tried to do what's right. I've always tried to help other people. We were like lost souls back then, me with a shattered heart and a little VW bus, her stuck in a dead-end life in a far north town. We didn't let money stop us from doing what was right. She agreed to go on a fantastic adventure with a man she hardly knew. I agreed to help her. We helped each other. After the gig that night, there were two $100 bills in the tip jar. You shouldn't do that, I said. Yes, I should, she said. Later, after she left, I found the third $100 bill, wrapped in a little note. in the wildflowers I keep in a vase on the dashboard of the bus. You shouldn't do that, I thought. Yes, she should, I thought. I've always tried to do what's right. I've always tried to help other people. We are still lost souls in so many ways, the two of us. We all are. We all, through our actions, are throwing stones into the still pond of this world. The ripples of our daily choices radiate out in all directions across the water. We can never stop this, and we rarely get to see where those ripples go and who and how they affect the world. But sometimes we do. Sometimes a ripple comes back to us. Sometimes we get to see the answers. Tears welled up inside me when Nicole told me she wanted to pay me back. Tears welled up because in a world with so much pain and misery, thieves and liars, naysayers and critics, I try to make sure the ripples I send out leave the world a little better place. And today, punching me in the shoulder and laughing before she hugged me goodbye, is Nicole. One ripple, I know I did right.
Sticks and stones will break my bones. Always will be true. And when your mom is dead and gone, I'll sing this lullaby just for you. What becomes for the little boys who never comb their hair, line up all around the block on the nickel over there. So better bring a bucket.
I thought I heard a
world. You can skip the line with great tug on the nickel. Comes of all our little boys run away from home. The world just keeps getting bigger once you get out on your own. Here's to all the little boys. Sandman takes you sleeping with a pillow man on a nickel over there. So climb up through that buttonhole. Fall right up the stairs. I'll show you where the short dogs grow on a nickel. No over there.
Tom Waits there with On the Nickel off of his Heart Attack in Vine album. I'm going to do something now that's going to kind of break one of the rules I made when I started the show, and the rule is not playing my own music on the show, but there is a song on my Vincent Rolls album that was written about the summer that I was traveling from Alaska down to California and back, and Rochelle broke my heart right after I left Anchorage. And you know, a few weeks later, wound up traveling with Nickel for a month, and then when I got back to Anchorage in September, Rochelle and I eventually wound up getting back together. So this is a song kind of written about that summer. It's called Across the Miles. Nickel is mentioned briefly. Listen for the line about the falling star.
Hand in mine, hand in mine.
just another smile.
Across the Miles off of my Vincent Rolls album. Thanks so much for listening. This is the My Home is on the Road show. My name is Dave Manning, davemanning.net, to get a hold of me, more about my music, about the show. Big thanks to KWMD Guy for making my show possible, though I have not seen him recently, and the only explanation I have was this brief phone message.
I joined the self-righteously stoned hippies, convulting in their own peculiar ways.
All right, safe travels and have yourself a fantastic day.